It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
BYU beat Boise State, and they couldn't beat South Florida? Rivals has arrived. Okay, folks, welcome to another episode of Rivals. Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck here. That's right, you heard it. The Brigham Young Cougars beat the Boise State Broncos, who were 14th ranked in the country, probably one of the top games they're going to play all season long. And it comes on the heels of two rather defeating, demoralizing, and crushing defeats at Toledo and South Florida. What the heck changed, Jason, to cause the Cougars to come out of, I don't know what Cougars do. They don't hibernate, but they came out of something.
Dude, it was a good, obviously, just a fantastic win, happy about it and all that, but it totally shocked. Because how does Boise State totally fall asleep, come into the game unprepared, just basically walking through the motions, right? Boise State was flat, and they just came in there thinking they were just going to walk over a bad BYU team. So on one hand, Boise State completely blew it and was the better team. On the other hand, you know, BYU's like Jekyll and Hyde to me, man. I mean, I'm not giving me ulcers. They're like, you go out and they play, you know, just average football, and you know the defense looks terrible, and you're thinking, man, we're not a very good team, and then they turn around and knock off a Boise State. So you don't know what team's going to show up week to week.
Let me point something out that seemed pretty obvious in the game. If you're watching and paying attention just ever so closely, it appeared that Kalani was much more involved in the defense. And Jeff Grimes, who's normally up in the press box, was down on the field. Those were two things that have changed. What does that mean?
Well, I think it's obviously good. If I'm head coach and my D coordinator is not performing, I'm going to be more hands-on also. So that was a good move, and the defense was better. I think part of it was emotion, you know, being embarrassed in South Florida. They're coming home in front of their home crowd. And there's that, you know, that rally game, just like USC was rallying against Utah after a loss in Provo. USC came back at home and played much better. There's better emotion on that. BYU had that. I think Kalani on the sideline and more hands on defense showed a marked improvement. And you know, Grimes on the sideline. It was obviously a good shift because, you know, the offense, man, the little trick plays they had in there. And you know what? Romney played excellent. I mean, he looked probably better than Zach Wilson, honestly, in his execution. I mean, the kid was really impressive. So that
I actually agree with that. I think Baylor Romney was really good. Why was he better? Because it appeared that Aaron Roderick was actually calling the plays. So It may have been a very different offense this week and may have been more conducive to a quarterback having success. Because I'm not going to lie to you, and I was never a fan of offensive linemen becoming offensive coordinators. They do not understand. They understand line play, and that's good, but there's a whole lot more that goes into it. You got to understand the quarterback mindset, how to develop them, how to get them in rhythm. There's so much that goes into it.
I think they definitely call a different game than a quarterback does, right? You know, I mean, yeah. Ditka was a tight end. Joe Gibbs was a tight end, O-lineman. I mean, you got Andy Reid was an O-lineman, of course. So I agree with you to a point on that. And I'll tell you, whatever the formula is going in that we don't know, you know, where we're guessing a little bit, they better stay with it, because I've said to you for a couple of years since Grimes got there,
I'm not guessing
you've
at all.
You've got a great
Jason.
Offensive game plan, and then the next game, I'm like, wait, he just went back to, it was terrible. It was like a completely different game plan, you know, than what the week before. I mean, where's the consistency, and why does it look like it's a totally different person calling the plays this week than it was last week? Right?
So usually that happens when people don't have a lot of confidence in what they're doing, and they think they try, and so they try to be too smart. I'm just telling you, it's about players, and it's about execution, and it's about it's about the confidence you have about the play that you're actually asked to perform. And you can have an intellectual understanding of it, and it doesn't work. So I think there was a major shift, and I think the major shift in this game was that these coordinators have basically been reassigned. Now, how long that lasts, I don't know. But it certainly had an impact. Here's what I don't understand, though. Okay? Why does it take losing twice? Why does it take even getting into the season at all? Like, can't you tell that?
Right.
Can't you tell a guy is or isn't doing it when you're in fall camp before you hire them in the spring? Don't you have a sense of people and what's happening? And I'll just tell you, I had an experience.
Last year,
you've been with coaches that are terrible, and I'm not saying these guys are terrible. You've been with coaches that just don't get it. And you've also been with coaches that really get it. I don't know if these coaches get it or they don't. I'm just trying to understand why it's taken this long to figure out to make a change. Because I think it's as much a change in attitude as it is in anything. So, like, let's just take last year.
I agree.
Kalani fires Ty Detmer and his whole staff. And the whole thing is the players responded to that. Because they're like, holy crap, he's firing the most prominent name in BYU football history. Sorry, Jason, you're 1A.
That's just because people don't understand the line of scrimmage and how important we are.
Right. That's why it's 1A, okay? It's not
they get
1.
They get all the fake news. Quarterbacks get all the fake news.
And it made a temporary shift, right? Now, I think the shift isn't the coordinators. I think it's something else. What do you think?
I agree.
All right. Well, what,
I agree. I look at it?
What like is something
you,
else?
I see crisis management.
Actually, you know what? We're going to take a break.
Okay.
And
we'll come back to that.
I want you to answer this when you come back, because I have an answer, and when I'm done, you're going to go, yeah, you're right again, Scott.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back to Rival. Scott Mitchell, Jason Buck. BYU beat the Broncos from Boise State, who are 14th ranked in the country and a very good football team. But then before that, they lost to Toledo and South Florida, who aren't good. Both of those games, major collapse in the second half, late in the game, should not have lost either one of those games. Just shouldn't have happened. Okay. The only significant shift, and I understand the quarterback's different, all that, fine, but there was a bigger shift, and it was that Jeff Grimes was not up in the play box calling plays. Was he calling them on the sideline? I doubt it. And Kalani was actively involved in calling the defenses. Okay? So that's the only significant difference. And I'm asking you, is that something that can last long term? Because I'll just ask you, and then I'll tell you the truth.
Well, based on the last 4 years with Kalani, I would say no. Because I've seen adjustments here and there over the last 4 years, and you have 1 week that looks like genius, and you think, oh, they've got it all answered finally. And then you revert back the next week to something really strange. And so I've not seen the consistency of that. And I think it goes to one of the great points you made there was confidence in your scheme and your system of football, where you really know it. You don't just know it from reading a book and learning it, but you have confidence in it because it's in your very soul, football soul. That's a Joe Gibbs, right? Joe Gibbs did not deviate. He knew his system. He knew how to win. We'd go out and play, prepare the same way in the playoffs and the Super Bowl as we did at the opening day of camp.
Never changed.
He had it.
Yep.
Right? Never changed.
Yep.
Lavelle, same practice in 1974 was the same in 2000. Practice format.
Don Shula did exactly the same way.
Exactly the same way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I just don't have faith in them and their consistency based on what I've seen in the last 4 years. I see these really nice adjustments 1 week, and they come out and just look great. And then the next week's like, it's like going back from Wisconsin to Utah State, and I see a totally different game plan against Utah State after the Wisconsin win, and you just get crushed by Utah State. And I'm like, that was a totally different team and different scheme.
So Jason, you are hitting around what it is. You make a really good point. And I'm not even going to say you're wrong, but I'm going to say you're partially right. And I'm even going to simplify it for you more than what you're saying right now. Are you sitting down? You ready for this?
Yes. Because we're probably agreeing, but just using different words.
Right.
You go, yes.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You're going to steal my idea and then make it sound like it's yours.
Totally, I'm not. I promise you.
Okay.
Kalani Sitake needs to stop being Lavelle Edwards. And he needs to be Kalani Sitake. And Kalani is not a nice guy. He's not Uncle Lavelle. He's not Uncle Kalani. He needs to be that hard-nosed, tough defensive coach and quit being Lavelle. And I believe, and this is my opinion, I believe that Kalani feels a tremendous amount of pressure aside from being a football coach. It's about the added mantle of responsibility that they emphasize as the coach at BYU. And that was Lavelle's personality, okay? And just so you know, Lavelle on the outside had this appearance of just being a really nice, your dad. But he was a fierce competitor, and he hated to lose worse than anyone. And what he did is his persona was, that's who I am. And I'm better at managing really good people that are probably better skilled than I am, than getting involved in things. And that was who Lavelle was, and he knew who he was. Kalani is a guy, he needs to be that defensive coordinator, tough-minded guy. Whether you like Bronco Mendenhall or whatever, Bronco Mendenhall was not Lavelle Edwards. Bronco Mendenhall was Bronco Mendenhall. And you know what? A lot of people didn't like Bronco. But Bronco was Bronco, and he was
a disciplinarian, though.
He was,
I mean, I'll compliment him on that.
He
did certain things well, even if I didn't like that style. He did his style well.
He was true to who he was.
He was true to who he was, absolutely.
Yes. And so I think this is a learning curve for Kalani. It's like, Kalani,
holy cow, he's got 4 years.
If you're going to go down, I know, but it's his first go-around, and he's been at BYU, and it's a little bit more challenging. It is.
It is more challenging there.
So,
it is.
So,
and I got to add to what you're going to say, but go ahead.
I guarantee you, he wakes up and he goes, if I'm going down with this ship, I got to be me. I really think that's kind of what's happening. And he goes, I just got to be me. And I can't be a nice guy. And you don't have to be a jerk, but you have to be an expectation. Don Shula, I knew exactly what was expected of me. Every single day. It never changed week after week after week.
No.
And there were a lot of times that I was pushed more than I really wanted to be pushed. And I was told
him
things.
And Gibbs were very similar that way, right?
And, yes. And I was told things that I really didn't want to hear sometimes. And there has to be the coach, there has to be the leader that says, this is how it is. And this will never change with me. And you'll understand where you are in our program every single day, coaches and players, and if you're not doing it, I'm going to let you hear about it. And that's who Kalani needs to be. And he needs to stop being Bishop Edwards, Uncle, Dad, all of that stuff. He just needs to be a football coach. And all of those things will play in, and they'll just They'll just naturally happen through the course of building relationships.
You can honor Lavelle Edwards always, like all Lavelle's guys want to do, because we love him and revere him so much. But you still can continue in that vein of a system, but make it your own. So it needs to be Kalani's, right?
Yes.
Even while he's honoring Lavelle and trying to build that Lavelle-type culture and system, but make it Kalani's vein, if you will, as part of that, and own it and go forward and be more of a disciplinarian, right? And have that belief in his system and own it. But because they're kind of like Jekyll and Hyde right now over the last four years, right? And just up and down and great this week and not that week, and where are they going with the system and how they treat, are they disciplining the kids? Are there fights in the locker rooms? Are there issues? You know, you lack of discipline. I mean, you're just, it's kind of been all over the map. So I agree with you. He's got to find his system.
You're gonna never
deviate.
You're gonna go down if you're not who you are, and so you might as well be who you are, and you might as well just swing for the fences and let the chips fall where they may. Because if you're gonna be something else, you're gonna go down. I'm just telling you, you're going to fail if you're something other than who you are.
I agree. There's been a handful of the greatest coaches of all time. You know, and you'll see some of their advice out there, and it's this advice just that you and I are giving right now, and that is, you take over as a head coach, you do it your way. And you get fired doing it your way. Don't come in and do it everybody else's way.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
You own it. You go down doing it your way. Because I'll tell you, that it'd suck to get fired and look back and go, man, I knew I should have done it my way. Right?
Right.
Go down doing it your way, to heck with everybody else. And in the end, you're almost always right. Right? In your heart, in your plan, what you know is almost always right.
It's very clear that there are many, many different styles and systems that work and work and succeed. But
they could come out and they could have came out this year and virtually copied Navy's offense and ran it like a beast, just as good as Navy, right? Perfect it, and I'm telling you, and owned it. And they would have been at a better record than they have right now.
Yep.
I mean, you're right. You just got to own your system and never look back.
All right. Well, speaking of owning, Rivals has arrived, and now it's time to go. Sorry, Jason.
We're off to our corners.
He's Jason Buck.
That's Scott Mitchell.
We are powered by KSLSports.com. Find us on Facebook at the Rivals Podcast, Twitter at the Rivals Show. And, of course, the next time we're here is the next time we'll see you. Until then, do not act like Jason in public.
Words of wisdom from Scott.